So today we'll be studying together Psalm 63. The reason of why I've come up with this, I don't know, somehow I'm inspired by David's passion, longing for God. Somehow I felt encouraged seeing David in such a passion for God. So we can have our message as a title, Intimacy with Christ or with God. They are one. So without delaying, we are going to read together the first verse of Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Honestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and well land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I will remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand uphold me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the pit of the earth. Well, that was 9, the last one, but I intend to just share with you up to verse 8. Here David is expressing his intimacy with God, his longing, his hunger and thirsty for God. Intimacy for God is at high priority to God, I believe, as far as we concern. Why? First and foremost, God has expressed that in creation. God came up with this word that let us make man in our own image. For your surprise, God did not create us in the image of angels, in the image of anything else in all creation. So that makes us very special. I guess in the whole universe, we are the only creature made in God's image. So, it's something that makes me happy to be in the image of a almighty God. Well, after that, the devil did not allow that to happen. For the devil came in the Garden of Eden, corrupt the precious man that God has created in his own image. However, it did not stop from that. God did even a much greater work than he did at first. He sent his own and only begotten Son to redeem us, still a love for us, still a great sacrifice on behalf of God to us. So that in itself shows that really God pursuing you as a person, you as an individual. God have that, you know, love for you. He can do anything for you. Jesus Christ was everything God could give. He did not redeem us with a planet somewhere or a galaxy somewhere. He redeemed us with his very precious gift, his own Son. Why did God did all these things? He is just longing to have fellowship with you and me. He wants to have a close walk with us. That's how precious we are. That's how privileged we are. There is a particular verse in the New Testament that I love, that angels long to look into our salvation. In another word, even angels long to look into the relationship we have, we and our Heavenly Father. They are there in heaven. We have never been there. We have never seen God physically. physically, but they long to look into what we have in Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? So that makes us very special. You know, I used to envy angels. I always feel like, I wish I was an angel. I could do this, fly or do that. But they also want to know our relationship with God. So God clarified his longing for us to love him and to have a passion with him, to walk with him closely, even in his commandments. The first commandment is for us to love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. It's the totality of our personality. It doesn't exclude anything on us. All of us are supposed to be passionate, loving God. And this is not a selfish way of, you know, just come and command us to love him. He have already done his part, and he expects us to love him back. And on the other side, we love God because he first loved us. Anyone or everyone who come to God, it's because of what God first and foremost have done for them or for us. Most especially for us who are born again, for us who have been born of the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you have never been born again, this doesn't apply to you. This kind of relationship we are talking about here have nothing to do with you. This relationship we are talking about here, it's of those who have been born of God, born again. The Bible talks about non-believers or those who are outside Christ, dead. Flesh and blood can't have a relationship with God. Somewhere, somehow, you have to be born again through his son. Then you have a capacity to love God back, to have a fellowship with God. But don't be scared or discouraged. You can have an opportunity actually to receive Jesus Christ and be able to have a relationship with God. Well, lastly, the reason why our intimacy with Christ is important is because of what it does to us. You know, everything we do, it's an outcome of our walk with God. Everything. Your walk with God will determine your success, will determine anything else you are doing. So it is of a high priority to God as well as to us. Verse 1 of our psalm for today. Oh God, you are my God. Honestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being long for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. The Bible here talks clear that during this time, David was in the wilderness trying to flee from Saul, because Saul was chasing him to kill him. So David possibly was watching around him, seeing the desert, and let the longing and what his body wants to what his spiritual life was also hungering and thirsting for, which was God. There is points that are important for us to look at here. First and foremost, David had a relationship, a personal relationship. A personal relationship with God. You can see in the first part of this verse. Oh God, you are my God. Praise God. Oh God, you are my God. It is very important for us as Christians to really have a personal relationship with God, whereby you can call God, oh God, my God. That's what God is calling us for. It is very easy to follow religion and the mistaken religion to be a relationship with God. It is not. In fact, that's what distinguishes we, born-again Christians, with other religious people. For instance, a Muslim can't stand and say, oh Allah, you are my Allah. It sounds not right to them because they don't have that personal relationship. They know much of do's and don'ts, but they don't really come to God in a personal way, in a daddy-son way. That's strange to them. We are so privileged to be in a position to love God that way. It is that close. Again, this goes beyond head knowledge. It is very much possible to study about the Word of God, have much of knowledge of who is God, what is, you know, Jesus, so on and so forth, and end up not having a heart-to-heart relationship with God. It's there. So we are not talking about that also. We are talking of a personal relationship. As David is saying, "Oh God, you are my God." He's talking about something he knows, talking something that is in him. Secondly, this is possible because of who we are in Christ. There are things that confirm that we are surely children of God. Like in Romans 8, 15 to 16, the Bible says, "The spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." Still, they had a close relationship with God. Verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." It is an internal connection. It is a personal connection. That is for you, that is for me. As a matter of fact, if this is not real and true in your life, there is something wrong. You have to check your Christianity. Because it is not enough to come in Calvary Chapel. We are a good Bible-believing, teaching church. But it's not enough to save you. Your salvation has to be an internal salvation. It doesn't have to be a group salvation. Because everything else starts and ends from here. So our preaching of the gospel is to make sure, encourage you to get to know God in that close, on a personal level. Again, David had a desire for God. David had a very strong desire for God. I thank God so much for all of you who have made it here. It is really, really important. I know some of you are tired. Some of you have things to do at home. Some of you have bought taxis from far to just be here for the sake of God's word. It's an effort. It's an expression of your desire and longing for God, to know God, to have a personal relationship with God. So keep on. David had a desire for God. The second part of this verse says, "Earnestly I seek you, I thirst for you, my whole being long for you." It praises God when we are so overtaken by a passion for him. Praise God. It's very easy for the world to take our passion for God. It's very easy, the things we do, our jobs, or anything else in our life, to diminish this longing, this passionate relationship for God. So David had this. I love this from David. What a good example. Earnestly. So David worked tirelessly to seek God. David do everything it takes to find God. I will refer this to a fish. When you take a fish out of water, man, the fish will do anything it takes to get back in water or to have that quietness. So we should long for God this way. We should be hungry and thirsty for God in the same manner. Oxygen. You know, if you deprive your body of oxygen, man, you will do anything. Have you ever been underwater for some time? You fight with all your might to get up and get some oxygen so that you can, you know, breathe. Our spiritual life, our walk with God also, sometime we need to search for God in that way. Because we can be suppressed. We can be in an environment where our walk with God is polluted there have to be a constant desire for Him so that He refreshes us, so that He empowers. David was a man after God's own heart. You can easily see from these verses. In Matthew 5, 6, the Bible says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Another verse still in Matthew, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Once again, God in His word put a priority to seek Him. Seek His kingdom. You cannot seek the kingdom without seeking the King and the righteousness of the King. Praise God. So the priority for us, it's not to seek after cash. You know, money now, almost, in a busy city like Kampala, money becomes almost everything. You know, money is easy in the mouth of people. Even we Christians find people passionate about searching for health and wealth. But as for us, our priority is the kingdom of God. Our priority is the righteousness of the King. Surprisingly, I don't know how God does this. All other things are added to us. David understands this principle. The sad thing to look at from this verse, it's the condition and the place where David was. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Praise God. The environment we are living in, it is not spiritual friendly at all. I might refer to it as a wilderness or a desert spiritually. If you step out of this kind of setting, what you'll hear, what you'll see, it's not godly at all. Instead, it's anti-God in most cases. They are neutral stuff, yes, but the world generally is a very sinful world. It doesn't encourage holiness. It doesn't encourage purity. It doesn't encourage love for God. It doesn't encourage anything of that sort. It's a desert. So David was seeking God in an environment that was not godly friendly. On top of that, we have three enemies that will make sure to pull you out of an intimacy with God. And those are Satan, the world, and the flesh. These things are against us wherever you go. Satan will make sure that he distracts you from following God with all your heart. Satan will make sure that you fall in sin. Satan will make sure that you don't make it. Satan will make sure that he robs you of the joy of your salvation. Satan will do anything it takes. So all these things create the environment to be a wilderness wandering. The world, I have just talked about the world and what is out there. And our flesh. You know, our flesh is also another problem. Part of us long to sin, long to be part of the world. You know, there is that nature in us. In fact, when you become born again, you realize that something within you fights against the flesh, against what your fleshly desires want. So, we also in a position where we should be longing for God, be hungry, be thirsty for God. Be seeking Him diligently so that we remain in that constant fellowship with Him. So that we remain in His power, in His enabling. Because we cannot stand and live joyfully our Christian life apart from His help, apart from His empowerment. It is impossible. You realize that you might be in a joyful relationship with God today, but tomorrow you wake up when you know something is not going well. So we need Him to help us. We need to be hungering and thirsty for Him. Verse 2. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. It's good to have a past experience with God. Let me say a special past experience with God, and most especially, in most cases after our salvation, there is that honeymoon between us and God when you are so passionate about God, you dream God, you say everything is about God, you want everyone to be saved. You know, there is that, you know, fire thing, you know. It's a good experience. I love that. Yeah? I may say it's a youthful spiritual thing, but it's really good because you have a passion for God. You feel like nothing will stop you from the God you have discovered. Everything you see, you want everyone to know God. It's such a beautiful thing. I remember when I was still like 16. That's when I come to know the Lord to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. From a Catholic background, which I was also like a religious kind of person, but this time I really like heard the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ. However, after some time, I went to live with my uncles in another city from where I was living. And these guys were really not saved, and they were the vessel, the tool that the devil was about to use to make sure that they get the God I have got out of me. It took like 2 years. At the end of the 2 years, I was not the Elvis I used to be way back in my home church. So it also took time for me to actually come back to the place where I used to be. So whenever I could remember this past experience, I could feel, oh Lord, oh God, I'm missing something. There was something missing within me. There was something that I was not really enjoying. I believe you have been there. In most cases, when, you know, something happened, you know, you backslide a bit, not for death, and you begin feeling so, not comfortable. It's a good place to be. It's a healthy place to be. That shows that you're real. That shows that you're really alive. Because there is a thirst for something within you. Praise God. The people of the world doesn't have that. They sin naturally. But for a son and a daughter of Christ, even though you fall into a sin, even though you backslide, somewhere, somehow, you will not be comfortable in that sin. You will not enjoy it. The Holy Spirit will push you to the point of repenting it and go back where you used to be. Why? Because there is nothing to compare with such a experience, such a relationship. So David here in this verse is saying, is quoting past experience with God. I have seen you in your sanctuary. I beheld in your power and your glory. Praise God. It was a healthy memory. Again, the power and glory of God. You know, when a friend of mine was in a relationship, and the girlfriend went for a retreat or something, and this guy comes to me and says, Elvis, you can't imagine what's happened. Man, my girlfriend, just I could look at her and I could see the glory of God of her. Praise God. So there is that beauty when you really live in the glory of God. There is that grace of God upon us when you really so close to Him. In the Old Testament, they give us a story of how Moses went to the mountain and all of a sudden begin negotiating with God. Oh God, I have heard of you several times, but I want to see you. I want to see your glory. Get so bold. I wanted to see God. The Bible talks of Moses, when he comes down from the mountain, the people he left down actually free from him because his face was shining. There was something special on him. The glory of God was upon Moses. That's what we desperately need. Because God has called us to be the light, the salt in the world. And that cannot happen on our own. It has to happen under the power and influence of God. The disciples supplies as the Pharisee. They were performing greater miracles, and all of a sudden, we know these men, they are ordinary men. We have seen them, we know them. But one thing was different, that they have been with Jesus. Praise God. Greater things happen when we are attached to our Heavenly Father, when we are one with our God. That's when we become supernatural, because the supernatural presence of God is upon us. The glory and power of God. Verse 3. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. As a church, we are called to worship, but still our worship for God have to be an outcome of our passion relationship with God. It is beautiful when we gather together here to express our love for God, to express what is taking place inside of us, to sing, to glorify, to praise God. And that takes place when the Holy Spirit is upon us, when we have that close relationship. By the way, in the church, we're supposed to worship. The world make music, but the church worship. Why do we worship? Why is it that these drums and guitars are different from what we can see in the world? These are things that help us to express our love, our gratitude to God. So we worship. David here was determined to worship God. In the Old Testament, the Bible talks of how David danced before the Ark of Covenant to the point of being criticized by his wife, Saul's daughter. It is recorded in Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel had distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of his slave girls, of his servants, as any vulgar Pharaoh will do." The passion of David is also expressed in how he worshipped God. David here worshipped God to the point of not even thinking about people around him. His wife was criticizing him that he danced before the Lord half naked. He did action he shouldn't have done in public. But to his surprise, David said, "What I was doing was for God. Praise God." It is such a place where the church have fall short of. When it comes to worship God, it has to be a calculated move. You think of how your hands are going up. You think whether you are distracting someone behind. Even kneeling down sometimes, you feel like, how will they think? Praise God. So, David here was not minding anyone around him. David here threw himself up and worshiped God freely, because God becomes greater than anything else. He was not thinking of his kingdom. He was not thinking of his crown. He was not thinking of his kingship. He was just overtaken by a worship for God. Some people try to bring this verse to justify dancing in church, which sometimes is not as equal to what David was doing. Here David was being heartfelt, moved to worship, to the point of overtaken up. And there is the duplicated thing of it, of making music in church, just to entertain ourselves sometime. It wasn't the same. Here David was so overwhelmed, so overtaken. It was an outcome of his love and passion for God. So it's a challenge, because we had even now a better and a greater relationship with God than even David had. For the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. But sometimes we are so cold in our love for God. Sometimes we are so far away behind as to what God expects of us. So it is my prayer that God revive us, God empower us, stir up our heart to be passionate for Him. Sometimes I feel jealousy when I possibly go to watch football. of how just football people get so crazy about football and talk about it, meditate about it, you know, dream about it. In the morning, wake up, talk about the same thing. It's not what we see in our love for God. You think of how the people of the world get so passionate about their loved ones, singing about their loved ones as a worship song. I can't live without you. Where will I be without you? I would rather die. Huh? You are my all. You are my everything. Praise God. Huh? That passion is lacking. That passion in us for God is nowhere to be seen. Or somewhere, somehow, we have quenched that passion. Hmm? And yet, we are the special people called to have an intimate relationship with God. We are the special people privileged in the whole universe to know God in that way, to know God in that personal way. It's my prayer that God help us. Verse 5, I will be fully satisfied as with riches of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Again, satisfaction for David come as an outcome of his relationship with God. You know, when we develop or when we have real genuine relationship with God, nothing else can really satisfy us to that extent. God becomes everything, and everything else becomes secondary. It is that passionate. It is that joyful. It is enjoyable. David here can be satisfied with anything else but the presence of God. You think of holy men of God like Daniel, Joseph. They went on to sacrifice greater things just for the sake of maintaining their relationship with God. It is too sad for us today that the things that makes us stumble really sometime, you look at them and say, seriously, I wouldn't have done this for the sake of my love for Christ, for the sake of my love for God. So it reflects our less love for God. We are not ready to sacrifice greater things for Him. Satisfaction is only found in Christ. You know, when you go out there, people are trying to chase all kinds of stuff to be happy, to be secure. But security actually is in God. Joy is in God. Enjoyment is in God. Peace is in God. God has made us with a part in us that can't be satisfied with anything else but Himself. If fish is comfortable in water, if this physical body is okay with oxygen, there is a part in us that long for that intimacy with God. For that's what He has created us for. That's why many will go to feed them with alcohol, with drugs, with sex, with, you know, addiction of any sort, and end up not being fulfilled. Why? God has made us to be satisfied in and through Him. There is a story one time I heard from Turning Point International. It was a testimony of this young girl. She was testifying of how she got into a drug addiction at the age of 14. And she tried all kinds of drugs, including alcohol, heavy alcohol, marijuana, heroin, so on and so forth. I don't even know some of the things that she mentioned. But she said that she had a neighbor, that when she was that particular neighbor, that she could see something in her that was special. That the neighbor was always happy, smiling face, and she was wondering which drug was she on. Huh? Because no matter what she's trying to do, she was not fulfilled. She was not as joyful as she could see in the neighbor. Until one day, she get bold enough to approach her and say, "My dear friend, how are you doing? Can you please tell me the drug you're using because I see you on high all the time? Eh? Say, it is not drugs. It's Jesus Christ in me. Praise God. There are things that will not fulfill your heart until Christ gets set in your heart. So, as the testimony goes on, that this particular neighbor actually took her to church, and that day the message was almost for her to get saved. And in her honor, she said, man, what I was searching all along with what I found in church. It was Jesus Christ. It wasn't heroin. It wasn't marijuana. It wasn't whiskey. It was Jesus Christ. Praise God. I don't know what the devil might be trying to deceive you with, but the truth is, Jesus is our all. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our joy. So we have the real deal. We have the reality. The richest people are not the happiest. It's not true. You know? Happiness, joy, it is in us who have the Savior within us. Paul also, talking of his relationship with Jesus, in his word, in Philippians chapter 3, 7 to 8, he said, "But whatever were gain to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For those for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ." Paul put everything aside and said, if you can give me the whole world, it will still be nothing compared to my relationship with Jesus Christ, compared to my joy in knowing Jesus and walking with Jesus. You know, the world is trying to convince us, Elvis, if you get a nice car, you'll be the happiest. Elvis, if you might be Fuga, you'll be the happiest. Elvis, if you maybe, you know, live in this part of the city or the world, you'll be the happiest. But believe me, you can have those things as it is, perfect as you want them. But if you put Christ aside, it will not still be enough. Praise God. It will still not be enough. In fact, that's a danger of the modern prophets and some pastors. They're trying to preach a Christ. That they preach a Christ, that you put the Christ aside and show you what you can get from this Christ and end up not having actual relationship with this Christ. Prosperity gospel. Come to Jesus to get ABCD. Come then this will happen. Come then that. No. God is calling us first and foremost to Himself, and then the rest will come. Because He is the real deal. Is the one we want, is the one we need. At the last come. Because He promised that if we seek Him, He will take care of the last. Verse 6. "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night." Again, this is an extending praise and worship and gratitude of David towards God. Even at night, he's still thinking about God. Even the middle of the night, what comes in his mind, it is love for God, it is praises for God. What a beautiful thing. It's really there to have this kind of constant thinking of God in our everyday life. We go through a lot. Sometimes you are stressed up financially, and even later, I think that God can actually solve even that one. So, it's my prayer and my desire that God gives us the grace to be in that place where He is really God, beyond and above our challenges, our problems, even sometimes our failures. verse 7 and 8. Because you are my help, I'll sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand uphold me. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ gave us a command, which was a clear command. He said that I am the tree, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, actually you can do nothing. David here is trying to express his leaning on God. He's holding tight unto God because he is the outcome of everything else. That's how desperate we need God. That's how desperate we need to have a close walk with God. David, in facing Goliath, it wasn't that he was so strong in his own physical body, but he was strong in his trust for God, in his view of God. King Saul could not face Goliath. Some of his generals could not face Goliath. But David just came in the arena with a view of God and what God can do in and through him, and proclaimed that I will face the giant. Why? He had a secret of walking closely to God. He could see the power of God with him. He could see the mighty power of God. We go through challenges. But those challenges, actually, we need to face them in and under the power of Christ in us. First and foremost, it is impossible for us to live a passionate relationship to God unless God himself helps us. It is impossible to face the world on our own strength. We need him. Now you come with other challenges, our failures, our sin, our weaknesses. So God has put us in a position of desperacy, dependent on him. Apart from him, believe me, we cannot make it. As we conclude, what are the things that really rob us of the passion for God? What are those things that interrupt our passion for Christ? I think of major things that could just come up in mind quickly and effective. Sin is one of the things that will destroy our passion for Christ, our relationship with God. Sin will cut power off in your spiritual life. It is an automatic thing. If you have that close walk with God and yet walking in sin, believe me, you are not going to have that intimacy with him. The Holy Spirit will highlight that until you get on knees and deal with it. Good enough, God knows we are not perfect. As a matter of fact, even David himself, the man after God's own heart, have some challenges, some mistakes and sins that he committed. However, he repented of them. The beautiful thing about us Christians is the privilege and the opportunity we have when we come to God in repentance. God is ready to cleanse us. God is ready to purify us. No matter what you might have fallen into, don't allow the devil to use that to destroy your fellowship with Christ, to make your spiritual life miserable. No. The provision of the blood of Jesus Christ is here for us. One thing for sure about us Christians is that we are not perfect. We are not sinless. But guess what? We don't walk in sin. We don't sin continuously. Sin is not our lifestyle. When it happens, make sure to repent of it. Make sure to come before God honestly. Say, God, A, B, C, D have happened. Please help me. And God will lift you up. He will cleanse you. He will purify you. He's there for that. I always refer to my Christian life or our Christian life, as in playing a video game. If you have never played a video game, your goal in your heart is to win or make more max, if it's max. If it's driving, drive throughout to the finish line. So when you knock and you are out, actually most of the video game just bring something on the screen. Start again. Praise God. I love that. You know, when you sin, there is a big announcement by the Holy Spirit. Repent and walk again. Praise God. That's it. The goal is not to walk in sin. The goal is to be like Jesus. The goal is to be perfect. But along the way, expect some challenges. Expect falling here and there. But rise up and walk again. Sin will interrupt our relationship with God if unrepented sin remains in our heart. Another thing is pride. Sometimes we are so proudful. We think we have enough. We have done enough. We don't need God. And that ends up pushing us far from Him. And we end up depending on our resources, on our money, on our power, on our fame, or on our whatever else. Pride. Lastly, it's big on hurry. In our generation, in our time, we are so busy. We live in a city busy, in the busiest city in the world. Everyone woke up to not make a living. We are very busy to the point of not having a time for God. If we are to develop a relationship with God that will last and bear fruit, much fruit, we need to have time for God. It is a natural law. Any relationship that is healthy, somewhere, somehow, there is time. If you're going to enjoy your relationship with your friends or your wife, your husband, there are going to be time for each other. Get to know one another. Get to long for one another. Get to walk with one another. You know, even God, there have to be that time for God. We just don't go to God and possibly have 2 minutes or 1 minute of prayer and say, God, see you tomorrow. Mm-mm. You're going to spend time with God. If we come to the study of His Word, you just don't wait until Sunday or Wednesday to study the Word of God. It has to be a constant studying of God's Word. Because that's where you find Him. That's where you get to know Him. That's where you get to fellowship with Him. That's where you get to fill you with His Spirit. That's where you get to reveal stuff to you. That's where you get to fill your spiritual life. We need to have time. I was reading a certain book and this particular man was saying that your love, all our love for God will be determined by our love for this book. How much you love this Bible or how much you love to spend your time in this book will determine how much you love God. Because this is God's Word. Primarily we meet God here and on our knees. So, think of how much time you give to God every day. Then you will easily give yourself max. And that will determine how much even you love Him. Praise God. If you see Him once a week, that's how much passion you have for Him. However, my prayer is to be close to Him. My desire is that God help us really to develop that passionate relationship with Him. We are living in an antichrist generation. We desperately need to challenge the world by more of God in us, by more of His power within us, you know, by His guidance in what we do, so that we can once again shine for Him in every area of our life. I guess that's all for today. May God bless you and keep you, keep us actually, continue to guide us, continue to empower us, continue to have, to give us a passion relationship for Him. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are, my King, to have been made in your image, O God, to have the privilege of having a personal relationship with you, Jesus. Father, however it's a challenge on a daily basis, blessed Savior, due to the city we live in, O God, due to the world we live in, O my King, Lord, due to the enemy, our enemy, the devil, O God, even our flesh, blessed Savior, it is sometimes challenging thing, O Lord God, to be passionate for you, O Lord God, all the time, O my King, keeping ourselves on you, O Lord God. However, Father, we pray, praying your promise that you will be with us in us and for us, O Lord God. Jesus, that the work you started in us, you will fulfill it, O my King. Blessed say that you will never leave us, neither to forsake us. Merciful Savior, we pray that you empower us. I pray, O Lord my King, for each and every one of us individually, that there will be the grace that will move us to another level spiritually, to another level in our intimacy with you, Lord God. Father, we want to be passionate for you, Lord God. Father, we want to be real, we want to be true. Jesus, we want to be men and women who overflow of your presence, overflow of joy that comes from you, Lord God. Father, we want the power that will help us to deal with challenges and difficulties, Lord God, we go through. Deal with difficult men and women around us, Lord my King, sometime at a workplace or wherever else, Lord my King. Jesus, one thing for sure, we are nothing on our own. We cannot stand unless you equip us. We cannot move unless you move us. We cannot see your precious Redeemer or bear fruit in any way unless something happens, Lord God. Thank you so much for this fellowship, Lord God. Thank you for your word. Thank you, blessed Savior. For I'm convinced beyond the shadow of doubt, you will help us, Lord God. You will guide us, O blessed Savior. Your grace will be sufficient, O my Master, for us as individual, O my King, as well as a church. We commit ourselves, our families, O Lord my King, our neighbors, our friends, and our relatives into your hands, praying, Lord, that you remember us with an outpouring of your Spirit, O Lord God, to revive us, O my precious Redeemer, and build a strong, healthy relationship with you, Jesus. In your name, Jesus, we humbly pray.